Please continue to pray for Tom and Georgie, because re-entry after mission is always very, very difficult. Well, I say it's always, they may have it easy, but in my experience of working in missions and working with those who've been on missions, re-entry is often the hardest part because of all the affluence, all the things that we have just readily available that we take for granted, they've been without for this past year, is it? Yeah. And to come back and to find yourself bombarded with all the publicity, all the advertising, all that's available, can sometimes be very hard for them, particularly when they look back. When Carla and I came out of missions and we re-entered, we took on a pastorate. I remember one family telling me that they'd been out as a family for the night and they'd spent £300 on the night out, on a meal and going to the theatre and various other things. And I had to deal very severely with my heart not judging them, because I knew that that £300 could have kept quite a few missionaries in the third world in work, could have kept them and supplied and just helped them day by day. And so please pray for them. That's just an aside. Please pray that the re-entry will be good for them, that they'll have people they can talk to and be able to share what their experiences have been and to just share how they're coping with what they're facing. Go. And you notice I've put it with a bang behind it, because I wanted to emphasize the fact it's a command. It's not a go, you know, just disappear. You can go now. It's not that sort of thing. But when Jesus spoke it, he said, go. He said, all authority has been given to me, and because of that, go. And I want to emphasize that. But before I go any further, I want to talk a little bit about a personal history. Not that I go back to the 1800s, but this guy, I don't know whether you can read it. If you can't, I'll tell you about it. Welshman from Llanover in Monmouthshire. He went out with the London City, London Missionary Society. I was going to say London City Mission then, but with the London Missionary Society to China. And while he was there, he developed this strong passion, strong burden for the Korean people. And so he began every opportunity he had. He got permission from his superiors to be able to go and try and reach the people of Korea. But of course the borders were closed and they didn't want anybody going there. And he'd been there once and it hadn't been a very good visit. But the second time he went, he was sailing up the river going to Pyongyang. Now if you know where that is, anybody know what part of Korea that is? That's North Korea. And as he went up into North Korea, the boat he was on, which I've got a feeling was called something like the General Sherman or whatever, but it was an old, you know, the old wooden type boats, it was attacked by the Korean people, and they sent a boat after it. They lit a small boat up and made it, you know, into a bonfire and sent it towards the boat. And their boat caught fire. And as a result, some people were killed, some people unfortunately had a horrible death through that. But Robert managed to jump out and swim ashore. And as he did so, he had a Bible in his hand. He may have had several, I don't know, but he had a Korean Bible, translation of the Bible, in his hand. And they were attacking him. They started to attack him and come at him. And apparently he held the Bible out to them and he just kept saying in Korean, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And as he did so, they killed him. Now, that Bible and any others he had with him were taken by a local Korean man who used the paper in the Bibles to wallpaper his house. And of course he began to read what was written on them, and he began to invite others to read what was written on them. As a result, a Christian community formed. And then 15 years later, there was in Pyongyang, there was over 100 churches and a thriving Christian community. That's in North Korea. North Korea has that heritage. and it was a Welshman, and apparently there was a German guy who went before him that had had a rough time as well. But this Welshman went and preached the gospel just by saying, "Jesus, Jesus," and gave them a Bible, and he died. And you might say, what a waste of a life, was it? He took the gospel into Korea and created a Christian community by giving his life. Now, I'm not asking that of you today. God might, but I'm not asking that of you today. But that's just one example. Now, that man, because of what he did, a South Korean pastor came just over 50 years ago and preached in Cardiff. And it was through that man's ministry. Now, I'd grown up in a Christian home. I knew the gospel back to front. I could pretend very easily to be a Christian. A lot. But I knew when I was in school and amongst my mates, I lived anything but a Christian life. But I could play the part on a Sunday. And one Sunday, prior to this Korean pastor's visit, one of the men in the church, just by chance, turned to me and said, "Have you given your life to Jesus?" And I couldn't answer him because I played the part, but I hadn't actually given my life to Jesus. A few weeks later, a guy called Yonggi Cho, who apparently was a pastor and from what I understand still is of the world's largest church, but he and his church then was quite small. It was only a few hundred thousand at that point, but his church was quite small in comparison to what it was to become. But he came and he preached. He told about how God had healed him, how God had brought him, had saved him, how a missionary had just shared the life of God with him, and he'd given his heart to the Lord, and how God had led him. And I heard that, and I remembered that as a child, I had been in quite a severe road accident, and my parents were told, "Don't expect a lot from this child. He probably won't do his O levels and A levels and things like that, and he probably won't do that well. But just be grateful for where he's at." And my parents didn't take that; they wouldn't take it. And they began to pray, and the people in the church began to pray, and I came through that. I was able to do my O-levels, A-levels, went on to university, went on to do other things beyond that. And I remembered that. I remembered what God had done for me, and I knew I had no excuse. And when he preached, I knew I needed to give my heart to the Lord. And that was back in September 1968. I was 13, about to become, in a few months, 14 years old, and God just dealt with my life. He just spoke into my life. And I came with tears. I came crying before the Lord because I realized when he died on that cross, when he gave all he did it for me. And he so much wanted me that he sent a man all the way from Korea to preach the gospel that I'd hear it and really respond to it. Now, maybe, I can look back on that history and I can think, wow, God took that trouble to win me for him. God takes trouble over every one of us. He may not have brought somebody from abroad, but he's brought somebody to win you. Somebody went because Jesus said, "Go." And because he said, "Go," we're here today. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, or because of that, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Not just some of it, everything I have commanded you. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And that last sentence is very, very important, because we can't do what we do without the presence of Jesus with us, and he's promised to be with us wherever we are. And it's the Great Commission, and within the Great Commission, within that command to go, are three commands and one promise, which I've already hinted at. He says, "Go and make disciples." Now, if you've been here any length of time, and I know some people didn't like it or whatever, and that's fine. But we did DBS, And we've taught DBS. We've shown you how to DBS, how to do it. If you don't have any other tool, I can guarantee DBS will help you to disciple people. It's happening all over the world. It's been used all over the world. Other techniques have been used as well. But DBS is particularly within mission groups throughout Asia, throughout Africa and other places, is being used to bring and disciple people to follow Jesus. You know, and if there's a better way, then let's find it, let's use it, but disciple. That call is on every one of us. Baptize them. Every one of you here who is a believer should be baptized. Now, I know that there are some groupings, some denominations that don't baptize. Well, how they get away with it before God, I do not know. And I'm going to be really rude here because Jesus says, Jesus commands, get baptized. And he tells you to baptize. He doesn't say, if you're a pastor, baptize. If you're an elder, baptize. He says, if you're a disciple, baptize. If you're a follower of Jesus, you can baptize people that you win to the Lord. Oh, but that's not according to our constitution or to our... It's according to the Bible. And that's more important than anything else. Jesus said, go, make disciples. You only need a bathtub or a hot tub. Or, you know, you only need a little bit of water to baptize somebody. Paddling pool, yes, whatever. Just do it. Just do it. Baptize. And the reason for baptism, if I go back to that, is that baptism is a symbol. Steve preached last week about, you know, our lives are as slaves to God. There's a scripture Paul said, I am not my own, I have been bought with a price. We have been bought by a price. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus. And because of that purchase, because of what has been spent on us, baptism is a symbol of death to your old life and coming up resurrected to a new life. You know that. If you're a good Baptist, you'll know that. You know, you've been down and up. And it's a symbol of your new life. Because we cannot live this life for God unless we have been prepared to die to our old ways and die to ourselves. We don't like that. I used to hate that for years. Dying to myself. But I've hardly lived yet, you know. But you know, it's the best way you can go. It's the most fulfilling way you can go. Is to die to yourself. To give your life daily to the Lord. It says, teach them obedience. Teach them to obey my commands. Not some of them. Carl and I, a few years ago, did a DBS for some friends of ours. And we decided to go through all the commands in the Gospels. And as we went through them, we had our eyes open because these Christians have been in church for years. And we had. But there were things in the commands that we realized we hadn't been doing. There were things in the commands that we realized we hadn't actually taken them into our lives. We had some fun over one. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And we pulled the leg of one of our friends who was in the group. Because he at the end of his answer phone message, he says, but I'll get back to you. He says, promise. You know, this sort of thing. Honestly. Honest. I'll get back to you. Honest. As if he wouldn't be honest. And he felt the challenge in something very simple like that. But it was quite interesting. We had a lot of fun with that one with him. Because it was part of the way he would talk. He would say something. Honest, he'd say, you know. And we used to say, well, we hope you are. But teach obedience. Make it perhaps in your own personal time. Go through the New Testament. Look at the commands of Jesus. And allow yourself to be challenged by them. And to become more like Jesus. And the promise, as I've already said, I am with you. So where do I go? You know, I say, okay, Jesus, you said go, but where? Give me a map. What am I to do? Acts 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's the map he's given us. That's the direction. You, first of all, and I put that in real colloquialism, where to now? Where do we go? Well, first of all, wait for the Holy Spirit to receive power for the task. So many people who've been involved with any kind of outreach or mission have neglected to do this. Ah, but our church doesn't do this. The Bible teaches us, Jesus taught us to do this, to wait for the Holy Spirit to empower us. And that word power there, dunamis, the form of dunamis that is, dunamis can be the dynamite, the explosion, but it's also the dynamo, the thing that keeps you going. And this is what it is, because I tell you, when you're in missions of any kind, and you don't have to, as somebody once said, you don't have to see, cross the sea to be a missionary. You have to see the cross. And that's what it's about. It's living the life for Jesus through the cross. But you know, without the empowering of the Holy Spirit in our lives, our work will not be as effective as it could be. And we need that empowering. We need that gifting of the Spirit. And it's worth waiting. We used to have the old days, as they used to say, they used to have what they call waiting meetings, when you would just wait on God and let the Holy Spirit come. Wait for the Holy Spirit. You wouldn't do anything until the Holy Spirit had come. And you know, it's worth waiting on the Spirit to come and to equip you for the task. So where, and this is my version of Jerusalem, Judea, and all the rest, is Penarth, Cardiff, depending where you live, or the Vale. Wherever it is that you live, start there. Work out to the rest of the UK. You know, see where God takes you. See where he leads you. Europe. And then the exotic, the world. But start where you are. Start where God has put you. And go where he wants you to go. Now, Jim Elliot, some of you may have heard of this through his wife's book. Elizabeth Elliot wrote of his life. He went as a missionary to on Operation Orca to reach the, I really got to work hard to say this word, the Huarani people of Ecuador. He went to the most difficult people. Lots of parts of Ecuador they'd reached and they were helping, but he and these other guys, they went to this very difficult remote tribe, and as a result they were speared to death. But they found this in his journal. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep. We can't keep our lives. We haven't for a while. We steward them, but we can't keep them. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Which is Jesus, the crown of life. To be able to stand before the Father on that day, and he says, enter in. Good and faithful servant. Well done. So where does that leave? And I put me in there. Not just me, but me, you. Each one of us as individuals. Where does that leave us? Well, we're all called. Whether we like it or not, it's part and parcel of our faith. It's part and parcel of who we are. But you can say, I'm not an evangelist. It's not to do with being an evangelist. I'm not an evangelist. It's to do with obeying Jesus' commands to go. We're all called to go and make disciples. Am I where God wants me to be? Do I have permission to be where I am? Ah, but I'm comfortable. I've got a nice house and my kids are in school and all the rest. I've got all of this. But do you have permission from God to be where you are? Have you said, Lord, you know, Steve said last week about us being slaves, and we do what we're asked. We do what we're told. Are we prepared to say, Lord, you can have all of me, everything, my job, my life, my wife, my kids, my family? You remember Keith Green some many, many years ago sang, I pledge my life to God for the gospel. I pledge my wife, I pledge my kids, I pledge everything for the gospel. That is surrendering to God and saying, Lord, take my life. He might not call you to the mission field. He may not call you to anything like that. He may call you just to be faithful steward where you are in your job. But do you know that that's where God wants you? Do you have that passion? This is where God has put me. Because if you have that passion, Your life will, and how you respond to your workmates, how you do your work, how you deal with customers, if you have customers or clients or whatever, will all be affected by how you see yourself in that place. If you see yourself as being sent by God into that situation, you will be the best employee you could ever be. Am I where God wants me? What people group? Now, you know, it's what the scripture says about going into the nations. That word nations is really means people groups. We know that the nations of this world are made up of lots of people groups. Britain is made up of different people groups, not just Welsh, English, Scots and Irish. It's made up of other people within that too. We know that God has allowed people to come into our country from all sorts of different cultures and backgrounds and religions and all the rest. And they're here in our midst. I heard somebody say some years ago, the reason why these folk have come to us is because we weren't prepared to go to them. So God has brought them to us. I thought, that's an interesting viewpoint. But what people group has God put on your heart? You know, it may be a subculture. I heard somebody recently in one of our groups, house groups, saying that they felt called to rich people. They really felt called to affluent people. And I said, bless you, because that's one of the, that is quite a hard group to convince them they need God when they feel they've got it all. But they felt called to, and that's fine. Maybe you felt called to youth. Maybe you feel called to a particular subculture within society. But then again, maybe you're called to reach Arabic people. Maybe you're called to reach Chinese people. And you don't have to go far in this country to reach those people. You might even feel called to go to the English or the Scots or the Irish or whatever. But what is the people group that God's put on your heart? When I was growing up, it was China. It was the Chinese people. And I didn't even know about that guy going to China and then on to Korea. But China was the thing, was the people group that I prayed for many, many years. But what people group has God put on my heart? How can I invest in this people group? What is God asking me to do? Do you read up on the nations, on that particular people group? You know, there are lots of places where you can find information on different people groups. You can find out where they've been reached. You can find out how much of the gospel has gone into those groups. There's a thing called the Joshua Project, and what they do is they keep an eye on where the gospel, and I'll show you a chart from them in a minute, but you look at how the gospel has been preached in different nations, and you can see where the unreached groups are, where the partially reached groups are, and things like that. And you can begin to see how to invest and how to see what you can do for those people. But it all starts firstly with prayer, firstly with a passion, firstly with a heart, and then ask God, how else can I invest? Maybe I can give towards other missionaries who are in those areas. This doesn't preclude anybody if you've got a serious illness or you feel too old or whatever to go to those places, because still you can go there in prayer. Still you can go there gaining information. You can be praying for missionaries that are out there. You can be writing to them to encourage them, to find out from them what it is that they're facing, so you can pray more intelligently. Do I need to learn more about them? Well, we've covered that. Some people even go as far as to learning their language, so that if they ever come across somebody from that people group, they can speak that language. And apparently, as you get older, it's good to do things like learning new languages. It's good for your brain and that. So learn a new language. When you choose to go abroad on holiday, target the place that God has put on your heart. Ah, but I'm going to relax. I tell you what, there's nothing better when you're abroad than being able to talk to a local and share with them about Jesus. To be able to have that opportunity to just tell them about the love of God. I remember a guy coming to me once in one church, and he introduced himself. He said, "You don't remember me, dear?" And I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. He said, well, about 4 years ago, he said, you gave me a tract on the street and you spent 5 minutes talking to me about Jesus. And today I'm here in the family of God, loving God, giving God my life and service because you did that for me. I was gobsmacked. Because I thought, I tell you, some of those times when I was out in the street doing that, I thought, is this really worth it? And God really took the rug under my feet and showed me. I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying that to say that actually God used me despite myself and my own understanding and heart. Learn as much as you can. And how can I reach them? If you've got a heart for a certain particular people group, a particular culture, find out how you can actually get involved in reaching them. You know, there's a thing in Cardiff, down in Splott, I think it is, called the Oasis. And the Oasis is to reach refugees. And it's a charity that's there. And I believe a friend of mine, of ours, who we haven't seen for many years, but still a friend of ours, set it all up. And I believe that this year she was in the New Year's Honours because of the work she was doing with refugees in that place. But, you know, they're looking for people who've got time, who can go in and just share them about life skills, living in the West, what it is, what's available to them, what they can do. Just showing them. Just helping them. And that could be a people group that you could get involved with and help. Here's this map I was showing you. See the red patches on there? They look a bit brown on this, but all those red patches are unreached or least reached peoples. So there's no excuse. You can say, I thought the gospel was in every country. This was made up in 2016, so it is a couple of years out of date, 3 years out of date, but it's still probably pretty accurate. And those are all the places. Where it's yellow, there's formative nominal churches. Where there's green, there is an established and significant church. Where there's grey, there's just no data on those parts at the moment. But there are four guys in the project, in the Joshua Project, and their role is to find out as much of this information as possible to help missionary groups, to help churches to know where to focus their work and their prayers. So there's plenty of scope there. If you fancy any of those, they're up for grabs. And we had this verse just before, and I was encouraged when I saw this verse. I thought, yes. Jesus told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You know, when I read this first bit of this, I used to think, oh, gosh, Lord, please, no, don't take me. But the Lord doesn't ask you to go. He asks you to pray that the Lord will raise up workers. But one of those workers, be ready, might be you. Be prepared for that. Might be you. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, some of you may have seen about this young guy recently, and you may have, if you're into ecology and all that sort of stuff, you may be looking at this young man and thought, why did he go out to a group of people that's under protection of their culture and that? Why? Because Jesus told him to. My son and daughter-in-law know this guy, or knew this guy. Well, they know him because he's still alive in God in eternity. But this young man, 27-year-old, had a passion to reach these people out in India, in these islands, remote islands. And he went, he tried several times, and eventually when he landed, they speared him to death. Now, God may not be asking that of you, but he is asking you to lay down your life to his purposes, his plan, to go into all the world, to go wherever you can go, and to share the gospel. You know, sometimes we can hide behind good works. And to get into some countries, you have to be a doctor or something else to be able to get in there. But ultimately, we're in there, whatever those countries are, to share Jesus. Every conversation we have, Everywhere we go, in the back of our mind should be, this person needs Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me to get a conversation in there. I think I've said it before, but I know at work there were times when conversations would come up, and I'd remember a scriptural passage, I'd remember something in the scripture, and God just dropped in my heart, well, why don't you tell them your father's wisdom? So I just say, well, my father said this. My father said that. And they didn't have a clue that it was coming from the Bible. But, you know, they would turn around very often and say, gosh, those are wise words. Because it came out of my father's book. You know, there are ways of sharing the gospel. Being wise as serpents and harmless as doves, scripture says. Become winsome to winsome. You know, God has called each one of us to go. And I tell you, it's not as hard as you think. When God called Carla and I to go into YWAM, Youth of the Mission, we didn't know how we were going to do it. We had a young family, and everybody said, how foolish, you should have done this when you were single. Oh, and it was just the two of you. You know, what are you doing? My brother, because we eventually in Youth of the Mission, we came and that's how we ended up back in Cardiff. Well, for me, back in Cardiff. Carla, it was the first time she'd lived here. But we ended up living here because God asked us to go and just spearhead through training and outreach and various things with YWAM in Wales. And we came back here. But my brother used to come up as often as he could, and he would always bring loads of meat. Back then, we were meat eaters. We're not anymore, but we were meat eaters back then. He would bring loads of meat because he was worried as to how we would survive. But, you know, God always looked after us. We had some of our best holidays during that time because God provided. You know, God provided us meals when we didn't expect it, and food, sometimes through my brother. But he provided us what we needed. Our children always had good clothes because God provided. You know, where God guides, God provides. So don't, you know, it's easy to make excuses. But if God is dealing with your heart this morning, listen. If he's not, if you haven't heard it yet, go to him and say, Lord, what group of people do you want me to reach? And I tell you what, it's worth it. He went to the cross for you and for me. He gave his life for you and for me. How dare we say, no, Lord, you're not worth it. We sing it. We sing, Lord, you're worth everything. Let's live it. Let's give him our all. Let's pray a moment. Heavenly Father, we need you. We need to hear your call on our lives. Lord, I can't prescribe to your people the way to go. But you have given us a command. Help us to hear it. Help us to heed it. And help us to go where you call us to go. Help us to have listening ears to your Spirit. To be equipped and empowered by your Spirit. To do the work that you've called us to do. Lord, we're in your hands. We are clay in your hands. Mold us as you want us. Help us to become the people that you've destined us to be in Jesus. In your name. Amen.